And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. It is great to be with you this week. Man, we are living in such interesting times, aren't we? Next week, I'm going to be in Montenegro. My brother and I, Rick, we will be there, as I've been telling you the last couple of weeks. We are preparing to go, and we will be there beginning our summer camp that we do in the city of Nikšić, Montenegro. Please be praying for us as we are there. We really have our work cut out for us in a land, in a country, in a city. The land of Montenegro, the country of Montenegro, 880,000 people, less than 0.01% of the population is a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. And so we have been going there all these years. The city of Nikšić, Montenegro, about 77,000 people, has one church, and we have been there over the last years just working with the young people, getting them involved, leading many to the Lord, and we are preparing a young man to be a part of the ministry there. We've opened up a coffee shop, a meeting place, if you will, where people will come, kids can come and study the Word of God, have a discipleship class, have a time where they can come and speak to our young Serbian friend. I'll give you his name. Daniel is his first name, and I want you to be praying for him. We're praying that he will become a pastor in that area. He's a great youth worker. He works with a youth organization in Europe, and he's there. He's a Serbian. He speaks the language. Great musician. Be praying for Daniel and his wife. Their new baby. We'll be going next week with a team of about 35 members, taking the gospel message, using the vehicle of sports and all the sports that we use, basketball, soccer, tennis, volleyball, and American football, American baseball. And we have members that are going with us, youth pastors, praise and worship team that will be there. We'll be using music. The meetings of the camp is all day long, and then at night we have open air meetings. We'll have an evangelistic rally that I'll be speaking at. I'll be actually teaching the personal evangelism to the young people on Saturday for the team members as they come in, just to kind of get us all on the same page together, and for the Lord to prepare our hearts while we're there to be able to minister, to be faithful, to be committed, and to realize the opportunities that are before us to reap the harvest. A lot of seeds have been sown over the years. And so and just pray for these young people as they go, both young people and adults that will be there, a part of our group. We're just praying for God's will to be done, and for a reaping of the harvest of souls that while we're there. Be praying for us. I'll be there all there. All, for the next 2 weeks, I'll be out of the country while I'm there working in the land with my brother Rick. Keep us both in prayer. And again, we would love for you to support us. We do bring a lot of sporting equipment with us and give it to the people that are there. We bring a lot of arts and crafts supplies that we give to the people there. And a lot of Bible material, study guides, study material for the young converts. And so it is a ministry. It's an outreach to the country, a really needful country where they need missionaries. And so we're just asking that you'll be praying for us, and that if you think about it, you could consider giving to our ministry. Go to our website. You'll find all the information that you need in order to be able to donate, or you can call our offices in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and just say, hey, I'd like to give to Jimmy and Rick's ministry as they are over there, as they're doing work. How can I help? How can we be of help? And I'm sure that we'll get you all the information that you need. This is an interesting day in which we live. That is for sure. No doubt about it. Every weekend, as I listen and I produce our Prophecy Today weekend program with my dad, my father, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and he interviews and talks to newsmakers from around the world And men that have their fingers on the heartbeat and the pulse of the countries of where they're coming from, whether it be the European Union or Israel or the United States or Washington, D.C. Dave James, as he does some very good stuff about the body of Christ and what we are facing today. Man, I have lots of emails, lots of text messages, lots of people getting in contact with me saying, man, we are living in interesting days, aren't we? And we sure are. I'm excited about it, actually, to tell you the truth, because it just shows to me that we are getting closer to the rapture of the church every single minute of the day, every single second, as each second goes by. As I see what the world is doing and as it is acting, we shouldn't be surprised, because this is really what God's word tells us is going to happen in the last days, in the end times. The church is really facing a lot of obstacles today. And this is a Prophecy Q&A program, and I get quite a few emails that come in to us from people, and I like to read them all. But in light of what's happening this last week, I've gotten a lot of text messages about same-sex marriage, the outcome of the Supreme Court and its vote. Chris Anderson sends in a note, and he's a faithful follower of our ministry and a listener. And I thought I'd read what he wrote in. He said, "Hi, Jimmy DeYoung and all at Prophecy Today. I wanted to tell you of some experiences I've had on Christian Facebook pages as of lately, since last Friday's egregious unconstitutional fascist ruling by the Supreme Court mandating homosexual marriage. I'm pasting here a post of mine from Facebook a few days ago. I hope you'll read this, because I believe that hostility towards Christians is an increasing trend and became very obvious to me this past week. This is from my Facebook post. Chris, for sure, we are praying for you and all of us that are facing what we consider to be difficult times in the times in which we're living. And we are going to, I believe, we as a body of believers, and I don't think it's a bad thing that we are first facing persecution. I think it will actually purify the church a little bit more. We'll see people that have to take a stand for what they believe. Jesus Christ said, hey, you're going to be persecuted because you are simply a follower of me, of Jesus Christ. And we are seeing that today. And this is not new to Christianity. This has been happening throughout the history of Christianity since Christ died on the cross for us. In those early days, each of the disciples, each of the apostles were persecuted, and many of them went to their death similar to Jesus Christ because of what they taught and what they believed. And throughout history, we've seen this. So I don't see it as anything new. I'm excited about the fact. I don't want to go through that persecution, but it very well could happen. And it has happened to a lot of people that we have followed throughout history. There have been a lot of martyrs for Christendom and the sake of Christianity, and people dying for their belief in Jesus Christ. If you listen to our weekend radio program, or our Prophecy Today radio network, Dad's been doing a series on the judgment seat of Christ and the crowns that we will receive. And he tells a story of how when we were doing Day of Discovery television in Turkey, he was retelling the story of Polycarp and how he was burned to death, and his last words were, my only regret is that I don't have more to give to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So Chris sends this in, and you are right, Chris. I do believe we're going to be facing more and more persecution. He says, "Unfortunately, I've been noticing homosexuals flooding Christian Facebook pages and threatening and judging Christians who don't speak favorably about homosexual marriage and about the Supreme Court ruling mandating it nationwide. I've seen polite and respectful Christians on several Christian Facebook pages even getting threatened to shut up or will take the church building too. It seems that homosexuals are looking at this from a position of power already." Well, here's the one thing that we have to remember. They are lost. they don't have that saving knowledge that God sent his only son to die for all of mankind. And that grace of salvation has appeared to all men. It's there for us all to take and to take in. And they don't have it. That's what we have to keep in mind here. So anything that we are coming up against, we have to remember that these people are all lost. They don't have Jesus Christ. Just as I go, when I go to Montenegro, or we take our evangelistic trips and we go around the world and Israel, in Montenegro and Romania, here in the United States, as we are involved with helping churches and helping churches really to learn how to evangelize in this world and why. As we study Bible prophecy and we understand the times in which we're living, the urgency of the hour. And this is the very reason why we need to be doing this. And Chris says, it seems that homosexuals are looking at this from a position of power already. Of course they are. Then shortly afterwards on Faith and Freedom Coalition Facebook page, homosexuals or sodomites were posting even pornographic photos of homosexual acts. And they said, accept it. I replied, the Lord rebuke you. Well, we need to pray earnestly about this. I cannot see how the Lord can excuse this and not pour out his wrath. And that is true. And there's nothing that says that the United States has to keep standing. Yes, I am as patriotic as the next person. But we have left our morals and values of what this country was founded on. Even the church has walked away from basic fundamentals of the faith, kind of following after the world. We've done this to ourselves, and there have been greater empires in the United States that have fallen, basically because of the same reasons that will bring the United States of America down. And of course, you know that as we have taught Bible prophecy, the United States is nowhere mentioned in Bible prophecy either. So there's nothing that says that it's going to be here in the end times, in the last days, during the tribulation period. As a matter of fact, I think that the United States, after the rapture of the church, after the moral backbone of what's left of the Christians in the United States, after they're taken off of the earth at the rapture of the church, that there will be nothing left. Chris, all I could say, and I know that you've written so much more, and I would say, you know, that a couple things that we need to do as a body of Christ is we really need to. It's not going to this homosexual same sex marriage is not going to go away. And our world is not going to get better. That is the case. It's not going to get better. Jesus talked about it. And we understand that the only time that it will get better will when he returns back to the earth to establish his kingdom, that 1,000-year millennial reign. But that happens only after the 7-year period of tribulation, which happens after the rapture of the church. So our world in which we live is getting increasingly worse every single day. In the United States, it's a problem for sure that has started way back. But, you know, other societies have been dealing with this for a long time. And I know that some say that God has turned their back on Europe, and now he's going to turn their back on the United States. God has not turned his back on anybody. He provided a way for man to have a restored relationship with him, and that's by he offered his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that's the message that we need to be offering to these folks and to people all around the world. And so I know, and I love the verse that you put at the end of your message to me, Chris, and to our ministry. And that's why I wanted to read this. I want to continually I want you folks to be out there continuing to be a witness. And all that you do, remember this, to bring glory and honor to God the Father in heaven. And to love the sinner, but hate the sin. I think that's the most important thing. I know we're going to have to learn to deal with it. I sat in church this last weekend, And I believe that our churches are going to feel more and more pressure from the homosexual community. And they are a very radical. They're not nice. They don't fight nice. So we need to learn to love in this world. We have forgotten how to love the sinner, because as believers, that's one of the things that we are to do. A byproduct of giving glory and honor to God the Father and all that we do is to tell others that God provided a way to have a relationship with him, and that's through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. But I do, let me read this verse that you put on here, Chris. I love it. Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Thank you, Chris. I thank you so much. And that's out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And those are words that we can apply in our lives as we are going forth in this world. You know, there's this whole idea of the same-sex marriage and the vote that has come down in our land and how people, and it's almost throwing it. But, you know, there's a lot of sin in the world right now, a lot of sin that we have become really callous to. It doesn't affect us really anymore for some people. And now, you know, this does affect us because it's so, you know, it's so wrong. Well, there's a lot of sin that is wrong. There's a lot of sin in this world, and we have the answer for people that realize that they are a sinner that needs to understand where they will be for eternity, that God has provided a way, as I've just said. Chris, thank you so much for sending that in. And for all of you, I think that we all need to prepare ourselves as to how to take the message of redemption, this message in God's word, to a lost and dying world. And any way that you look at it, sin is sin. And we need to be out there going forth and being and giving people hope in a world that has no hope. Thank you, Chris, for sending that in. Keep studying, keep listening to us. And we'll be praying for you and all of, let's just pray for all of us, the body of Christ. We have that answer. We have that hope. Let's get it out there to people that need it. Lori McLean sends in an encouragement to us, and she had alerted me to a radio station in Springfield, Missouri. We had communicated back and forth, but I love what she said. In these trying times, it's comforting to know it's all a part of God's plan, and I'm able to give others comfort when they are troubled by it. A friend was terribly distraught and needed comfort yesterday. It meant so much to be able to share the biblical perspective that gives us hope. Without an understanding of what is happening and why, the world would appear to be insanely spinning out of control. Lori, that is so good. I love that. And really, that is the truth. If you don't have Jesus, it does look like this world is insanely spinning out of control. People who have a different view of eschatology or have not been taught at all about prophecy have really been set up for some serious doubt and fear. How literally we see how the truth sets people free. Thanks to you all for your work on the show and in your other ministries. I plan to remain a loyal listener until our Lord returns and share the download broadcast with anyone who cares to listen with me. Blessings, Lori McLean. Lori, thank you so much for sending that. And we encourage you to do that. You know, sometimes we might get tongue-tied. We might not know what to say. But as I do, and you can do it, we could just take people and let them listen to somebody like my dad or myself or anybody else, Dave James, one of our other contributors, the people that contribute on our radio program. You can let them listen listen to these and explain where we are prophetically and how we do have a hope. We're not living with as people without a hope. We have a hope that's within us, and that's looking for the blessed return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lori, for sending that. We really appreciate that, and keep up the good work. Keep letting others listen to the downloads. We have another note that came in from Danette Stutigen. Hi, Jimmy. I listen to you often and am blessed by your weekly chats on Worldview Weekend on VCY on Fridays especially. Thank you for taking the time to read and answer my email. I have an Air Force mom friend from a local USO group who I've become close with, who is 100% Jewish and agnostic. Over casual conversation the last year and me responding often, "Oh, I don't believe that," on many subjects, she started asking me about death and my belief in Jesus and heaven and hell. Praise Jesus. I believe God places people in our lives for a reason. That is so true, Danette. That is so true. She mentioned going to Barnes & Noble to buy a Bible. I took the opportunity to offer to send her a really good study Bible. Where is a good place to start in our Old Testament? And are there any other good books I can include from the Jewish Jesus perspective to help us both study together? I am willing and offered to do it with her. I normally just rely heavily on my Bible and occasional studies on VCY. She never read the Old Testament, only knows vaguely what she's heard in her synagogue. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to get it wrong on this one. She has some friends who have given her books on reincarnation and some very touchy-feely New Age relations, which has caused her confusion, she said. Normally, I read a book I give out first to make sure I am not handing out something horribly wrong, but I don't feel I have the time in this case to do so. Thank you for any suggestions, Danette. Well, Danette, we will pray for you and your endeavor to minister to and to witness to this Jewish person. And here's a couple things. Get her a good Bible. Get her one that has some good additional study notes to it. And there are a lot of them out there. You can go and look at some of those. And I would encourage that maybe she start reading in the book of Daniel. If you're witnessing to a Jewish person, and this is one of the best books to start with, especially when you get to Daniel chapter 9, because it talks about when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would appear in the city of Jerusalem. Now, you're going to have to study this with her. Daniel is a good practical book. And it's a good prophetic book also. There are practical chapters to it that you can use in your study and that talk about Daniel and his three friends and many captives that left Jerusalem headed for exile in Babylon. But we follow the life of Daniel and his three friends, and Daniel gives some very important information about future events, a very prophetic. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11. These are all very good. And actually, Daniel chapter 10 too. All of these are good chapters to study. But I think also very good book that would be good for this person would be our book with Sound the Trumpets. Now the four major trends of Bible prophecy are very good. You can go to our Prophecy Today bookstore, get that. That's a good book to study. That will help your Jewish friend see how God has a plan for the Jewish people and how that's being partially fulfilled right now, but there are events that are taking place in Israel. Why that's so very important, and how that fits in to our lives on an everyday basis. Revelation, a Chronology is another good book. That's Dad's book that he wrote, his commentary explaining the book of Revelation, which really helps people to go through and to study that. So those are two good books, and we'll be praying for you, Danette. Thank you for your encouragement for what we do and all, and hopefully this will help you in your studies with her and yourself. I always find that that's very important as you're studying God's Word. It really helps you to to strengthen your own understanding and wisdom and knowledge of the Bible when you're helping someone else. Get another question that comes in from Teresa DeVore. And Teresa says, I was listening to your program today. I have been a Christian since I was 6 years old and regularly attend church. I sang in the choir. A little over a year ago, our pastor was preaching on Revelation, and I realized his beliefs were nothing like mine. When I asked him some questions, I perceived that he belittled my beliefs. He said that Christians would go through the tribulation. He also talks about ushering in the kingdom. Isn't that dominion theology? It's a kingdom now theology, dominion theology. Yes, Dave James talked about that last week. He explored that. And we do see a trend in churches today. And you bring up a good point, Teresa. We need to really be aware and have studied God's word, understand what we believe, and when you're sitting in a place or in a church, or as you're sitting and listening to people speak, those red flags go up, and you were able to realize that your beliefs were not the same. And unfortunately, a lot of times people will, their natural reaction, even with pastors, if you question them or you tend to, and I think that's with prayer and supplication and preparing our heart to go to a leader of a church. That's not something that's normal in most places to question the pastor, but you can take scripture to him and show him and help him to understand. But unfortunately, most times, a lot of people will belittle our beliefs and things, our understanding of Bible prophecy, and there are. I always tell people, when I go to a conference, when I go to a church, I understand that even in one church service, there can be many different beliefs or understanding about the end times, eschatology. But let's take a look at what God's Word says, and let's use the basic principles for understanding Bible prophecy to help people to understand. And then if they don't, you know, we really need to be reminded to have that love of Jesus Christ inside of us as we talk and deal with others. At the time, we began looking for a new church, and we have visited two other Baptist churches in our town, and both those pastors taught the same as our home pastor. I am very discouraged. I don't feel like I have fallen away from the church, but that the church has fallen away from me in the Bible. Dave James on our weekend program with Dad has talked about this. This is one of the reasons why we have Dave James. He really gives an understanding and helps. He looks at what's happening in the body of Christ, not only here in America, but around the world, and prevailing thought patterns and process of pastors today and what's happening, so that we can be aware. And you say, my husband and I are coming to Columbia, South Carolina tomorrow at your conference because I miss being fed. Please pray for us that we will be able to find a church. We will. We'll pray, and that's our prayer for all that. And it is increasingly hard. I know what we believe as far as eschatology. And there are a lot of good pastors out there that talk about the church, but are good teachers. But when it comes to eschatology, there are quite a few that have differing views. And I think you have to make that decision. As long as you know what you believe, you can go to a church and find one that closely. I think that's the important thing. We need to be a part of the body of Christ. I see so many people can't find one that they agree, and they bounce from church to church. Sometimes either you can think about starting one of your husband could start one of his own, which we have done in the past. And I remember growing up as a kid, Dad did that. We gathered together with like-minded folks and started a gathering of ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. I know that the most popular thing to do is to be a part of these big mega churches, but that is not necessarily always the best way. But anyway, Teresa, we'll be praying for you that you'll find a good church. And yes, keep studying God's word so that when you hear something that's not true, those red flags come up. Make sure that you can take the word of God to any person, even a pastor. You can take it to him. Take the word of God to him. This said, Pastor, what do we do about what this says here in his word? Don't take your experiences, but take the word of God. Take that. As Dad always said, I've had enough of experience. I don't need any more experience. Let's see what the word of God says. I like that. Very good. Thank you, Teresa, for sending that in to us. Mark Dimitri sends in a question. He says, I am studying the book of Revelation. My Bible is the Parallel Bible, which has the KJV, the King James Version, and the New International Version. I'm referencing the NIV Matthew Henry Commentary and the Bible Knowledge Commentary. I'm in chapters 9:3-10 of the book of Revelation, where it describes the plagues that God let Satan unleash the locusts from the bottomless pit to torment the people who do not have God's mark on their forehead. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, says that this is spiritual harm. I thought that this would be physical harm. The Bible Knowledge Commentary does not say this. So do I assume it will be both? Your views, please. Well, Mark, thank you for sending that in. As we look at Revelation chapter 9, we see that this is the fifth trumpet that you're talking about, Mark. And let me just set the scene here. The rapture of the church, the next thing to happen on God's calendar of events, his timetable, is the next thing to happen. That's Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And then Revelation, the rest of Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, we get a glimpse of the throne room of heaven. We, as the believers, the body of Christ, will be in the heavenlies, having just gone through the judgment seat of Christ. We get all this indication. We get a picture of the throne room of heaven. Then in chapter 5, we see that the sealed scroll is there, and John sees this, and he asks, who is worthy to open this? And God takes the scroll and hands it to Jesus Christ. God, seated on the throne, hands it to Jesus Christ, who is not yet on his throne. That's very important. Then Revelation chapter 6, as Jesus breaks that first seal, he opens it up. We see the first seal is a man on a white horse representing the Antichrist. Of course, this all happens and after the rapture of the church. That first seal opens, the Antichrist comes on the scene. The tribulation period doesn't begin until, and as we cross-reference this with Daniel chapter 9, until the prince that shall come, of the people that destroy the temple, as Daniel describes him, the Antichrist, he confirms a peace agreement with Israel, and he becomes their friends for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That tribulation period is 7 years long. So the Antichrist confirms that peace agreement. That's what begins the tribulation period, and the rest of the judgments begin to unfold. There are 7 sealed, 7 trumpet, and 7 vial judgments. We're on the fifth trumpet now in Revelation chapter 9. And this is at the midway point of the tribulation period when Satan is cast out of the heavenlies. That's Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. That's not a star that we see at night in the Milky Way. That's a star like a personality, like Michael Jordan was a star. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given the authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Now, let me just tell you from my point of view, Mark, I believe that this is physical torment. I'm taking what the scriptures say literally. And when Satan is cast out of heaven, he uses his key to allow demons in the abyss to come out and afflict the earth. I believe that those are physical demons. And we can go back and look where those demons came from. Now, the demons are those evil angels that are doing the work, Satan's work, not only on the earth, but in the he's the prince of the power of the air. He's having a lot of, and again, we're going to see this. Angels is either good angels or evil angels. Angels is used, that word is used 88 times in the scriptures, and these are evil angels that come out the out of the abyss. This event was represented as a great smoke darkening the sky and the sun. Out of the smoke came creatures called locusts. And we get the description of what they actually do. I mean, when it says that they, with the deadly sting of scorpions, I mean, it's using a physical description there. While they were harmless to natural vegetation, they're not going to touch any of the trees, the grass, any vegetation. They stung people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Who are these people? In chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, the 144,000 are explained to us. Those are 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel. Revelation chapter 7, verse 3 says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So we see that these demons that escape the abyss will not physically hurt the 144,000, those that are sealed. And I believe that they will not be able to touch Christians, because these are only to come out and torment those people. It's a judgment upon those who have rejected Jesus Christ. So, Mark, I think this is a physical torment that takes place, and I think it's a torment that will take place on those who rejected Jesus Christ. Thank you, Mark, for sending in that question. I really appreciate it. As you study God's word, and thanks for, we have suggested a lot of people to use the Bible Knowledge commentaries. Those are great commentaries, ones that we agree with wholeheartedly, and done by Dr. John Walvoord and Dr. Roy Zook. So use those, and you should always, that's a good thing to always have as you study God's word. Go to the God's word, but see what the commentaries. I think it's very important that we use the right commentaries. But anyway, thank you for sending in your question this week. Rachel Pinu sends in a question. She says, is the upward call of God mentioned in Philippians 3:14 referring to the rapture of the church? Thanks. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Well, Rachel, let me just say this. Paul is encouraging, and he pursued Christ-likeness. He encourages us all to pursue Christ-likeness, and I think that's what he's doing here. And I think that prize that he was talking about, so that upward call, is the prize that we receive as Christians at the judgment seat of Christ, talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The judgment seat of Christ, where we as Christians will give an account for how we lived our lives on this earth. And it's always an everyday learning process to become more Christ-like in how we live our lives. Those five crowns that we receive, there are five different crowns that we receive for living our lives. And those crowns that are mentioned in God's word, they're there to help us so that we can understand, you know, that these are some things that we should strive for. These are goals that we should look for, and that's one of the motivations that we have in our lives to help us to be more Christ-like. I'm looking forward to being able to take the crowns that I give and lay them at the feet of Christ, and we do that. Revelation chapter 4 gives us an indication that that's when the judgment seat of Christ takes place. Those crowns, there's five of them. The crown incorruptible is talking about bringing your body into submission. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. That's a great crown. That crown is one that, and I remember Dr. David Jeremiah one time, he said, I love this crown because I am so overly hungry, I guess, to receive this crown, and I'm working towards it. And there's nothing wrong with working toward these crowns, because we understand that these crowns are not for us. I mean, they are, And as we give an account for how we live our lives, but we're to take those crowns and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And bringing your body into submission, that's what missionaries do. That's what people do that deny the world that, you know, we live in right now, and all those things that the devil makes so appealing to people, to us, to lead us astray, to sidetrack us, and bringing our body into submission so we don't follow after those things, but we follow after the things of God. The crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Winning souls to Christ. If you've won someone to the Lord, Rachel, you'll receive this crown. I've won someone to the Lord. Thank the Lord. I've been a part of leading someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Savior who died for their sins. I'm going to receive a crown for that. The crown of life, not yielding to temptation. James chapter 1, verse 12, we live in a world that is full of temptation. You'll receive a crown because you don't yield to that. The crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, edifying the saints. If you're involved, Rachel, in teaching in Sunday school or with youth or in a women's group or whatever you might be doing or serving, I think that goes along with serving also, serving in the body of Christ. I think that's there, the crown of glory. You'll receive that. The crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, loving the return of Jesus Christ. Eschatology, understanding, wanting to know, and just indicative of your question. I mean, you're so desiring to find out more about the rapture of the church and when that's going to take place and what's involved in it and looking for the return of Jesus Christ. And that really helps us to stay on the course. Understanding what's going to take place in the future, that really helps us to stay on the course. Besides, everything that we do, that wood, hay, and stubble that we do for ourselves will be burned up. But those things that we do for the Lord, the gold, silver, and precious stones will be refined by the fire and all of that. It also determines our wedding garments, the garments that we will have, Revelation chapter 19. Because of the deeds of the saints and our acts that we have done, that will help determine our wedding garments and the crowns and what we give back to Jesus Christ. So that's what that's talking about there, Rachel. And Paul understood that his everyday life, every day he strived to be more Christ-like in all that he did. Thank you, Rachel, for sending that question in. Lynn Reichert sends in a question. She says, Jeremiah 49:38, does Jesus Christ set up his throne in Elam or Iran? And as you look at Jeremiah 49, verse 38, it is talking about Elam, which is modern-day Iran. Lynn, this is a prophecy concerning something in the future, and Elam, Iran, will be restored, according to verse 39, but it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, and it will be restored. Iran will be restored, but this refers to the time when Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom and his throne in the city of Jerusalem. It's talked about in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, when Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom in the 1,000-year millennial period. Remember, there's the rapture of the church, that 7-year period of time, and then when Jesus Christ returns back to the earth, he will set up his kingdom, and a lot of explanation in Jeremiah and Isaiah gives instruction to those nations that are on the earth at that time, and Jesus will then again at that point restore Iran, and he will be his throne will be over all of the earth at that point in time. But thank you, though, for sending that in, Lynn. We really appreciate your question and studying God's Word. Folks, this has been a great time together that we've had, and I sure appreciate each week that we have the opportunity to sit and to share and to talk. For you to send in your questions, your comments, and a lot of times I will either respond to you personally in an email or on our Q&A program. I will give you thoughts and comments, and but I always like to go to God's Word and see what God's Word says, and that's what we encourage you to do, to keep studying God's Word, to be and understanding why the world is acting as it is today. We are living in the last moments before the rapture of the church will take place. We're seeing things right now as we are witnessing evidence of events that are setting up future events that will happen during the tribulation period. But before all of that, the rapture of the church takes place, and there are no prophecies left to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church takes place. The only thing that needs to happen is that people need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's not willing. God is not willing. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise of his return, but he's not willing that any should perish. And we need to be about telling others about Jesus Christ, be about doing the work of sharing our faith and telling others about this, the greatest gift that God has given to all of mankind, the condition that he said, that I am going to send my son to die for mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the condition. God sent his only begotten son to die for all of mankind, to take away the sins of all of mankind. But we must believe that. We must believe that Jesus Christ died, went to the grave, and 3 days later arose. And by doing that, he took away all the sin of mankind. We must acknowledge that and reach out and accept him as the Lord of our life. We continue to keep looking up, because the rapture of the church can happen at any moment. Keep looking up until...
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Jay Johnson inviting you to join us again next week for more of Prophecy Today. Prophecy Today is a listener-supported production of Shofar Communications in Chattanooga, Tennessee.